Hello and welcome in Jesus' name. My name is John Kester. You are listening to a recorded sermon of the Spirit of Hosea Fellowship. I pray that you will be blessed and encouraged as we share the Word of God together. This fellowship is an outreach of Theological Foundations Ministries. We invite you to visit our website at www.theologicalfoundations.com. and www.marriagedivorce.com. There you will find a wealth of messages, material, and online teachings, and books which you can download, copy, and burn to a CD, and distribute to your friends, family, freely without charge or obligation. To partner with us, please go to www.theologicalfoundations.com and click on the links for How Can I Help? Now, let's get out our Bibles as we follow along with today's message. Here is the chaplain of the Spirit of Hosea Fellowship, Stephen Wilcox.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have said that with any two or three of us gathered together, that you will be there. Lord, for those that are listening to this on the internet or are downloading this and they have it in a CD that's been sent to them, Lord, and they are alone or they are with their wife or they're with their children and they're listening to this, you promise, Lord, that if any two or three together in gathering in your name, that you would be there. Lord, I ask that you give me today a particular gift of wisdom, because this is a difficult subject, and I need to have great wisdom of how to speak on it. Because, Lord, it's spoken on from time to time, but often inappropriately. Lord, I just ask that you give me clarity, but you give me the right spirit so it'll make a difference that you would have in the Church of Jesus Christ. Lord, I just ask that you open the ears of all those that should hear this. And I ask, Lord, above all, that this message be given to the church. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me to the text today. I'm going to read everything that I'm going to be reading out of the New American Standard. Feel free to use whichever version that you are most comfortable with. As far as I know, there's no significant difference in any of the versions that are commonly held in the Church of Jesus Christ and the English version around the world, where there be any major deviation from the Greek as we understand it in these particular verses. I'm going to ask today that if you are driving, then you shut this off now, and you wait until you can stop somewhere and get out your Bible and follow along on what I read. Because I want you, and I pray that you agree with me, I want you to see these words with your eyes and to hear these words with your ears. But I need you to have it understood in your heart, and I ask the Holy Spirit to bear witness in every case and with you. Please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. My text is three verses, verse 14, 15, and 16, starting out in 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves, also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy, unquote. In trying to prepare this message for the last day or so and this morning, I am reminded of something that Paul wrote in Romans. You don't have to look this up, I'll just read it to you. It's actually Romans 9:1-3, but let me read it in context to how he felt, because this is how I feel. I am telling the truth in Christ, he wrote. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed, separated from Christ, for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. In the same manner, I, Reverend Stephen W. Wilcox, would give up my life willingly and gladly. I would lose my limbs if it was requested. I would be certainly willing to be punished eternally if it would make a difference with those that I love in regard to this message in Christ. It is so important, and it is so understated, but it is a fact that has largely been lost on this generation. It is the great elephant in the room that is ignored. It is essentially the error of our day, and it is killing and losing for the Lord and for eternity countless millions, hundreds of millions possibly, of Christians around the world. This is Sunday morning in much of the United States and North America. Sunday in most parts of the world. This morning, in churches around the world, millions upon millions of people have filed into church in pew upon pew, row upon row. In organizations that have descended from the Church of Jesus Christ from 2,000 years ago, some more faithfully descended than others, some closer, some farther away. But in all these cases, there are some profound truths that have been forgotten. In North America and in Europe, Canada, the German and the French-speaking and the English-speaking nations of the world, in the last 40 to 60 years, there has been a great falling away on sexual morality, in particular in adultery and fornication. Those two Greek words are mokia, adultery, and porneia, fornication. As we speak in the United States of America, where I am preaching from today, between 40 and 60% of the people that are sitting in pews and rows in the church, and 40 to 60% of those that are standing in front of the speaking the word of God, are living in relationships that are directly and diametrically denounced, forbidden, and condemned by Jesus Christ and his apostles himself. And the other 40 to 60% that is left have no particular serious problem with that. As has been discussed many times in this ministry, and if you've never heard it, I invite you to go to www.marriagedivorce.com, follow the links to sermons and messages, and you can download and listen to any number of sermons and messages by various teachers and preachers and reverends and doctors and theologians from around the world on this subject. Or you can read a wealth of books and papers and studies on this issue, on adultery. But today, I want to talk about fornication. Because by and large, those that are living in adultery within the church, in divorce and remarriage situations that is specifically denounced by Jesus Christ, are adults. And as adults, they will face God directly. And they are essentially responsible for what they do, and God will hold them accountable. But brothers and sisters, our children, our beloved children, are in situations which will cost them eternal life. Today, in our churches, the lifestyle of the young people has never before on the face of the earth been so prominent. I don't want to shock. I don't want to even say what I'm going to say next. I went on the internet to update some figures. Some of this has come from secular sources. Some of this comes from such sites as Save America Ministries. But I'm just going to quote them quickly. And I hope that if there's young people around, that you will perhaps just cover their ears or save this for when they're not in the room. The average young woman in America has had 2.5 sexual partners. 50% of ninth graders in grade 9. Brothers and sisters, little kids have had sexual intercourse. 50% of them have had oral sex. A quarter of them consider anal sex to be abstinent behavior. 70% of 18 and 19-year-olds engage in oral sex. 90% of American men and women alike admit to premarital sex. Another study makes it 95%. Since 1960, a mere generation or so ago, living together in sin, as they used to say, without marriage, has increased over 1,000%. This is in society as a whole. This is Canada. This is United States. This is England. This is France. This is Germany. This is Sweden. This is Norway. This is Switzerland, and many more. That's the world. Paul wrote that God will look after the world. We are not to overly concern ourselves with it. But we are to be very much on guard and taking extreme action within the church. In the Christian world, amongst young people, 2/3 of Christian singles are not virgins. 61% of students who sign sexual abstinence cards that true love waits have broken their pledge and have had sexual intercourse. Of the 39% that have not had sexual intercourse, over half of them, 55% or so, have oral sex, and they think that they are still pure since they do not consider oral sex to be sex or sin at all. I'm not going to refer anymore to what I just said. No matter what state or country you are in, those numbers in some close variation are true. What is true about a 17-year-old church kid in Connecticut is identical to one in Melbourne, Australia. This is a disease of the church. And if we do not recognize it and face it and defeat it, it is going to slaughter our children and our grandchildren. And God will hold us accountable. God will hold you accountable. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to read 6 verses, but I don't want to do it in direct sequence. I want to do it a bit backwards. I want to read verses 18 to 20 first, and then I want to read verses 9, 10, and 11 second. I'm going to let the Apostle Paul speak for himself and for the Lord. You don't need my words. Verse 18, flee fornication. Now, the root word for that is porneia, primarily premarital sex. He writes, every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral or the fornicating man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Stop for a moment, please. Please notice that the price that is paid is for the purchase of souls, not sins. Verse 9, 10, 11 now. 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Again, please note that you who were in those conditions were justified, not the actions of the sins that were lived before conversion. In studying for this, looking for the appropriate scripture, I became aware that I could have started in Genesis and finished in Revelation and quoted everything because the scriptures are painted with this. The Word of God is saturated with this. Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality, that's fornication, or any impurity or greed, must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Stop for a moment, please. In the church, right now, as we sit, sitting in pews, again, somewhere between 40 and 60% are living in relationships that these verses are talking about as being prohibitive for Christians, and they won't be saved because of it. They will lose their salvation because of it. And the rest of the people have nothing to say particularly about it to the point that it would upset anybody. Please bear that in mind. Verse 4. There must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty. Now listen. Verse 5. Please say it out loud with me. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead, even expose them. Let me make myself clear. You that are unmarried, and you are having sexual relationships with a girl or a boy, your girlfriend or your boyfriend, either in heterosexual or in homosexual contact. You are sinning against God. It cannot be made right. It is wrong. Jesus Christ did not die so that you can participate in fornication with those that you are attracted to. He did not die for that. You will die if you do that. It is a requirement as a Christian that you be pure and you withhold your sexual appetite until you are married, until you have a wife, until you have a husband, according to the scriptures. And do not follow the sins of your mothers and fathers that have divorced and remarried, because you will share their fate if you do. I call upon the children in the church by the name of Jesus Christ to stand up and live according to the word of God. Requote verse 5, for this you know with certainty, that no immoral and impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. Once again, the word says that in anything of an important nature, let it be established by two or three witnesses. I think it's a dangerous thing to take a verse and be able to extrapolate a large doctrine out of it. But at the same time, I think it is absolutely critical that we take a broad look at the Bible and we teach not only the short strokes, but the long. And that is why in the scriptures, God has made redundancy, so that if you miss it at one point, you will catch it at another. If your eyes were closed at one time, it will be given again at another time when God knew that your eyes were open. If one person misses it, another person will catch it and tell them. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, and you excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from fornication, porneia, sexual immorality. Verse 4, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you, for God has not called you for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives the Holy Spirit to you. Brothers and sisters, those of you that know the Lord, that are connected with me for all of eternity as a child of God, hear me. For you that are not children of God, hear me. If you reject these words, you reject this doctrine, you're not rejecting me. You're not even rejecting Paul. You're not even rejecting the Word of God. You're rejecting the God that gave the Holy Spirit. That's unforgivable. Do not cross this line. Do not look for this line. Do not contest and contend with what I am saying. Verse 8, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. You cannot engage in illicit and forbidden sexuality, in premarital fornication, in sexual relationships, in sexual conduct before marriage, or in remarriage while a former spouse still lives, without invoking the wrath of God. Says, be not deceived. And if you reject this, you may never be given another chance to accept it. And as I speak these words, as I quote what Paul said, the Holy Spirit is knocking on your door and telling you, you hear this, because this is the word of God. This means you. And if you're a pastor, and if you're a shepherd, and if you're a parent, and if you're an older brother, and if you're an older sister, if somebody is sitting in the pew that you are sitting in and they don't know this and you do, God will hold you directly accountable, because this is a contagion. This is a virus that is killing this generation of Christians. We will lose the world and we will lose the cause of Christ if this is not radically altered and turned around and stopped within the Church of Jesus Christ now. And if you know the truth, and you won't tell someone else, and if you will hold it within yourself, you don't want to rock the boat. You don't want to make a noise. You don't want to threaten the peace. You just want to get along. I warn you, the wages of silence, in this case, equal the wages of sin. And if you're a shepherd of Jesus Christ, and you have avoided going to the people and calling it the way it is to the people, God is going to punish you beyond your wildest imagination. Paul warned you. He said, I forewarned you. I'm warning you again. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, fornication, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. No, not. You won't. Galatians 6, 7 to 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whoever a man sows, that also will he reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life. Little children, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen. I'm sorry that we failed you, that we haven't been clear. And if what we have done has caused you to fall and to be confused in this, I ask for your forgiveness, and I ask that God forgive us. But you cannot live as we lived. You cannot do as we do. And if you do, you will die. The scriptures teach that you are fallen, and many of you have done this, and many of you are trapped in chains of sin, and the sin has bound you, and what you have done in your bad habits have just tied you up, and you've locked you down, and you can hardly raise your arms, and you can hardly put one foot in front of you. Jesus said, come to me, Jesus said, and he will break the chains, he will set you free, and he will give you a spirit that you will live, and you will be able to walk with him, and he will take that dirt that is in you, and he'll take that destruction, that corruption, and he'll wash you, and he'll clean you, and you will be pure as wool. But you must repent. You must come to the Lord, and you must confess it. You must just confess it, and then you must abandon it, and you must confess Jesus Christ, and he will fill you. Be a light to your generation. Just don't pass on our darkness. You can change this. You can change it for you. You can change it for your family. And you can change it for everybody that sees you. And for you that are called and chosen. But you have fallen. As I speak, the Holy Spirit is confirming it to you. As said in Romans 6, 12 to 23. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you will obey its lust. Do not go on presenting the members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. There's no option. There's no other way. It isn't that this is one gospel, and the things that you hear are saying in the other churches right now is a different gospel. There's no two stories about this. There's not two interpretations of this. There isn't two legitimate paths here. This is not just a narrow understanding. As I said, the scriptures are painted with this front to back. There's no option. You don't listen to these words. You're just not going to get away with this. Because if you reject this, you reject the God behind this. It's fatal. You will die. 1 John 2, 3 to 5, the great apostle of love wrote in verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him, that we obey his commandments. If you do not obey his commandments, if you live lifestyles of fornication, porneia, or adultery, mokaya, or you're a thief, or you're a liar, or you're a murderer, and it is unconfessed, and it is unrevoked, and you have not metamorphosized and changed into a heart that wants to obey God, you will be lost. You will look around, I'm sure, and you will say, I am no better, I am no worse, my church is no different than every other church in my denomination. After all, we're human, stuff happens, God understands. I warn you in the name of Jesus, that if you use the grace of Christ as an excuse for licentious behavior, or you use the grace of Christ as a mediator from requiring acts of obedience to God and the obedience of his commandments, the people that hearken unto you will die, and God will hold you accountable. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I beg you to listen to me, to fall on your knees, confess your sin, repent from your sin. 2 Timothy 2:22, a single verse. I'm going to end with this. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Many of you will ask, I pray to God you will ask, what do I do from here? Where do I go? What do I do? Who do I talk to? What do I do differently this week than last week? I can't answer your question. But there is a God that will. There is a Bible that can be read and understood with the help of the Holy Spirit. You have enough light to walk the path out of the darkness you are in. You have enough light. Look up. See the light. See the truth. Drop what's in your hands. Leave who's with you and walk toward that light. Now, walk toward the light. And the God of all peace and the God of all light and the God of all love will meet you and take you and transform you. And you may yet change the world and the world around you. Heavenly Father, I have said the words that you have told me to say. I ask, Lord, that you, with your Holy Spirit, accomplish your work for good or for ill in those that hear, according to your word and according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that you've been blessed and encouraged by the Word of God today shared by our fellowship. We invite you to visit www.theologicalfoundations.com and www.marriagedivorce.com to listen to other Spirit of Hosea sermons and to have free access to a wealth of teaching and materials from various pastors, teachers, and authors in the body of Christ. This ministry is maintained entirely by your ongoing prayers and generous financial support. We thank you for listening and trust that you will draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is John Kester saying goodbye for now, and may God bless you.